obviously the most important thing in our business is the people that have to carry out kind of, you know, Mike Carey and I's mission every day. And so I think investing into the people, and I think from a where we are today and how we've gotten over the last 5 years, is it's people who've been with us for a long time, who've really been able to kind of scale with the business. And so they've taken what we sort of had in the smaller world of Faraday when it was really tight and it was just 20 people and we were all hands on deck. And they've been the ones that have been able to bring that mission forward, which I think is so important because they've lived and breathed the business with us. And so giving them kind of like, it's now you guys to help us do this, I think has been so, so instrumental. So a lot of our leaders are people who've been with us for many, many years since the beginning. And I think that's super, super important. The second thing is we're very lucky that we're able to do this from a position of like, I want to do this the rest of my life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Retail Refined, a market scale podcast with your host, me, Melissa Gonzalez. Today, I get to say that I have a guest who founded a brand that I truly am a fan of. So that's always fun when I get to have that conversation. Today, I'd like to introduce you to, if you don't know him already, Alex Faraday, who is the co-founder and CEO of Faraday, which is a family-owned and run lifestyle apparel brand. They were founded over a decade ago in 2013, and it truly is a family business that he founded with his twin brother, Mike, and his wife, Carrie, and have grown the brand into a nine-figure omnichannel business with 81 stores and growing. So we have so much to dive into about that, about the genesis behind the brand, about where it's gone, where it's going. And then I have a few fun rapid fire questions at the end, because we always like to do that too. So Alex, thank you so much for being on with us today. That is the highest level introduction possible. So can we start with you telling the audience a little bit about who you are and your founding story?
Sure. So I'm Alex Faraday, as Melissa said, and I have an identical twin brother, Mike, and my brother, Mike, since I can remember as a little kid, loved telling me what to wear.
As brothers do.
He just had style. You know, we would spend so much time going back to school shopping, and I was like, let's just get out of here. And he's like, no, I got to find one more thing. I remember going like across all the different malls in New Jersey to find the one pair of shoes that he wanted. And he just loved clothes. He loved style. And he was always very artistic as kids. I was sort of like the one that was really good at math. Mike was always the one that was really good at art. And we had something interesting happen. We grew up in a small beach town on the Jersey Shore in New Jersey called Spring Lake, New Jersey. And it's very beachy, grew up with surfers. So we wore all the surf brands as kids, Quiksilver, Rip Curl, Billabong, which were all big in the mid early 90s. And then when we were 12 years old, our parents moved us to New York City, to Manhattan. And so all of a sudden we went from this small little town in New Jersey, just wearing t-shirts and board shorts and stuff you buy at the surf shop, to all of a sudden living on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And I think specifically for Mike, who was always the one that loved to go shopping, it was like now all of a sudden he was shopping at Bloomingdale's or the Ralph Lauren store, or, you know, just a whole different environment of shopping. And I think he just fell in love with the way the clothes felt and the quality that he was finding in New York that he just didn't feel like had it at the surf shop. And when we were seniors in high school, we had to write a college essay. I wrote mine on like chasing after the ice cream man when I was a kid. It was sort of like a funny thing. And Mike wrote his about starting a clothing brand that kind of is basically starting Faraday and talking about the brand that he wanted to create, which is what we're doing now. So that was in 2001, and now it's 2025, and we're living our childhood dream.
I love that. Well, first of all, your sibling is always going to give you a little crap. So like that tracks. But I love the, you know, kind of the yin and yang of the two of you and that right and left brain combination. And that's really, that's always the magic, right? I think that what makes things happen and come together. You talk a little bit about kind of from the beach to the city, but the brand is also rooted in a mountain to coast way of life. So can you share a little bit about how that kind of shapes, like how did that become the DNA of the brand too?
It's a, you know, it's a, it, the brand has our name on it. We could not come up with a better name. We tried. We tried really hard, but somehow we're like, we just got to name it Faherty.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, I think when you put your name on a brand, it becomes a real, a real signature of what you guys, what we like, what's our style. And so our kind of, you know, our genesis of style was like growing up in surf shops. And then we were big skiers as kids going to Vermont and Colorado. And so we loved Patagonia and some of the brands you'd find kind of in that sort of category. But then also as we moved to New York and started shopping in department stores, like they also didn't have sort of like the level of maybe fashion or clothing that we wanted. And so you take these two kids who love surfing, who love skiing, who are these outdoor kids who now lived in Manhattan. And we're like, I actually want to dress cool and be able to fit in New York. And so the mountain to coast is like what our pack, like things we love to do, activities that we love, outdoors. And then now we sort of kind of hone that into like living in New York and spending more time in LA and kind of the brand coming together with our interests, but doing it in a way where it sort of fits a quality, a design aesthetic that we think really works. And I think, you know, growing up with a brand like Patagonia, which was such a cool brand for us for so many years and still is, you know, we did want the brand to have a really big sustainability mission from the beginning. And so since the first product we ever made, it was made out of recycled materials. We've been using organic cotton since we started it. And so that's been a cornerstone too, that thank God for companies like Patagonia that helped sort of take these young kids who fell in love with Patagonian sustainability at a young age and can now kind of do that as we got older.
Yeah, I love that. And I have to say, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on with you, it's like some of my most comfortable clothes that I wear. So I, you know, I love that aspect of it too. And I love that you brought up the sustainability because your brand became a certified B Corporation just last year, right? Which is a significant milestone. And I think a lot of brands talk about sustainability and, you know, there's different levels of commitment you can make for that. What did the process look like for you, for the company? And has it shifted any of your internal practices or storytelling?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, you know, for years we were like, we should become a B Corp. I think, you know, we just finally got around to it with all the madness that is running a clothing brand. But I think fortunately, as I said, we started from the beginning as a cornerstone of our business that, that sustainability would be a key piece of it. And specifically, obviously, in our business, which is clothing is not a sustainable, you know, in its sense, not a sustainable business. We're making new things. So how can we make things better? And my wife, Carrie, who's a partner in the business with us, you know, she's been leading that initiative for us for many years. And I think it's great. We have Mike kind of on the design side, who's really focused on sourcing the fabrics, you know, and sourcing more sustainable fabrics. And then my wife, Carrie, kind of from the vision of how can we do this better and how can we be, you know, leaders in the industry, has also been really, really, really important. And I think because we set the business up with a cost structure and an understanding that these materials are more expensive, and my brother Mike's ability, he still designs most of our fabrics from scratch. So we're able to customize the materials that we use. And so it's not like if you're a brand where you're like, oh, I have to totally redo and rechange how I do things to be more sustainable. That's been sort of in our DNA from the beginning. So the getting into the B Corp process was one where we didn't really have to change a lot of what we did. It was more just the reporting and making sure we had all the data for the B Corp. And also it gave us a chance to really talk about some of our other impact initiatives that we do that B Corp really appreciates. But at the end of the day, it's all about the materials of what we choose. And we had been doing that from the beginning. And so it's just made us continue to want to raise the bar and the percentage of our materials that are better materials.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, for some companies, it could feel like this really insurmountable challenge to get there. And I think a lot of people can learn from the process that you took to get there. And you mentioned, you know, just going beyond the materiality and the sustainability as a brand, you've also donated more than $1 million to the Native artists and nonprofits. What inspired the Native partnership program, you know, and what have you learned from that ongoing collaboration?
Yeah, my brother Mike grew up at Ralph Lauren. That's where he spent most of his design career. And he designed a brand there called RRL, which is a really cool kind of Western vintage brand that they have, among others. And, you know, one of the cornerstones of that collection is sort of recreating some native textiles, native looking textiles in some of the fabrics. And so when we started Faherty, we were doing the same, you know, Mike was sort of doing something similar. And it was really my wife, Carrie, who through just relationships and connecting with communities sort of started building relationships with native designers in the native community. And I think there was a feeling that, you know, brands like Pendleton or Ralph Lauren, who were just using, and we were doing this too, were just sort of taking, you know, native designs and putting them into their collections just didn't feel right. I think specifically given how difficult native people have had it in America in the last, you know, 200 years, like not getting the credit for it. And so it was really my wife, Carrie, who built some amazing relationships and said, you know, this is just not the right way of doing things. And so we developed really intimate relationships with native designers. So now when you see anything from Faherty that sort of has a, you know, native design aesthetic, those are designed specifically by native designers, and they, you know, benefit significantly financially from those designs. So it's really being able to give it back to, you know, bring it back to the community. And that's been huge. And what one of the things what was amazing was about a year and a half ago, Ralph Lauren did the same thing and brought on a native designer. And that was the first time they had done that. And so I think that's like, that's what we want to do. We want to raise that profile so other bigger brands can kind of see the example.
Yeah, that's so powerful. You just mentioned community, and you often talk about community and belonging as part of the brand experience. So what does that sense of belonging look like when we think about in-store, online, your social initiatives? Like, how does that, how do you ensure that that kind of shows up as a key element of your story?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, we can start with this, the physical brand space. You know, so much of what we've tried to do with our physical brand space is have a very inviting and comfortable design experience in our stores. So it's my mom who helped us kind of with the business for the last 12 years. She's an interior decorator by trade. And so when we started, she sort of came on and really took on the vision of our stores. And it's really like this kind of cool beach house, casual, comfortable vibe that she'd been trying to create in our stores so that people come in like, oh, I feel like comfortable here. I feel like there's a great place to hang out. So I think that's important. I think the second thing that's the most important thing is the people. So, you know, there's many places that brands can, customers can shop. There's many other alternatives. And so I think for us and from the beginning was how do we create an experience where people come in and really feel an amazing level of service and hospitality when they walk into one of our stores. And so that's been a cornerstone since we started. And I think some of it's because I was the first store manager. Like when we first were getting going, we had this little store in New York City, and that was like my job was running the store, being the CEO. And so I think I saw firsthand how important that is for people to connect to the brand. And in the end, like it's our name on it. So there's another connection to how important it is that people have a great experience. So I think that's been huge to it. And then as far as the way the brand and community, I think it's, we try and really connect the brand to interesting people, interesting causes that we feel align with our mission. And it comes down like this overarching thing of like, we want to create this Faherty feeling when you experience the brand, whether it's how comfortable, Melissa, the clothes are that you have, and it gives you a feeling to when you walk into one of our stores, when you see our imagery and it takes you to some special place, like all of our most of our big campaigns are all in these locations that can kind of like send you to a place that makes you feel, you know, great, makes you feel amazing. And I think that's really what we're trying to create with the Faherty brand experience across retail, online, the clothes. And so when we're designing fabrics, like, is this going to feel the Faherty way? And if it doesn't make the cut.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. It's very human. I think when people think of your brand, or for sure for myself, there's this human side of it, I think, that you're talking about too. And that's not easy to scale. You know, I think, first of all, amazing, all of the expertise you have in your family between you and your brother and your wife and your mom. And you all being able to be there, I think, from like a quality control standpoint of like making sure that that's being constant. But that's not an easy thing to scale. And you are now a 9-figure business, 81 stores, wholesale partnerships, e-commerce. You know, what have been some of the biggest lessons that you've learned building an omni-channel business while staying true to your brand ethos?
That's a great question. I'd say the lessons that resonate with me the most are, and some of this took learnings and mistakes and kind of going along the way, is obviously the most important thing in our business is the people that have to carry out kind of, you know, Mike Carey and I's mission every day. And so I think investing into the people, and I think from a where we are today and how we've gotten over the last 5 years, is it's people who've been with us for a long time who've really been able to kind of scale with the business. And so they've taken what we sort of had in the smaller world of Faraday when it was really tight and it was just 20 people and we were all hands on deck. And they've been the ones that have been able to bring that mission forward, which I think is so important because they've lived and breathed the business with us. And so giving them kind of like, it's now you guys to help us do this, I think has been so instrumental. So a lot of our leaders are people who've been with us for many, many years since the beginning. And I think that's super, super important. The second thing is, we're very lucky that we're able to do this from a position of like, I want to do this the rest of my life. So I'm 42 years old. I started the business when I was 30. I'm still young. Like, this is all I want. This is my passion, you know, for the next as long as I can do it. So the way we try and make decisions and think about it is like, okay, how are we thinking about this over a long-term period of time versus the quarter? So it's balancing the business versus the brand is sort of the art and the science, which I think we're very fortunate that we have that ability. So I think that's getting to that point. There was years when I didn't, because we were trying to survive. Like, we were trying to just make it, and it's freaking stressful. And when you're like almost running out of money and, you know, you have quality, sometimes you have something from a factory gets is super late or something doesn't sell, you know, there's just constant headaches. So getting to that point 12 years in to feel that long-term view of the business, I think has been a really good lesson. I wish I had that a little bit earlier. And then a third thing that comes to mind as far as lessons go is everything, you know, so many things in this business go wrong. And so how can we always constantly bring positivity and amazing energy to waking up every day in the light of pandemics and supply chain issues and tariffs and customer complaints and all this, like, you know, positive, everything's gonna be okay. We just keep doing a great job, keep getting better every day, and not letting sort of the anxiety and the stress of the industry and the day to day like affect, you know, we're living our dream. So let's right. let other people experience that. So I think what I try and for the people who work at Faraday, I want them to be proud of work at Faraday and like really enjoy the day, enjoy their experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so important to have that level of groundedness and have the long term or the long game view, because to your point, especially in the beginning, it's so easy day to day. And we always just as humans, I think, remember all the setbacks more so than the victories. So to remember, like, you're still achieving so much along the way, I think is really important. And an important leadership message that, you know, you're instilling into your company. As you look ahead and you think about, you know, store growth versus digital expansion, where do you currently see the greatest opportunities?
I see it everywhere.
Okay, so I think love that.
I see it in all the channels. Uh-huh. I see it in retail, wholesale, and online. Because in the end of the day, customers like to, we think about omni business, customers like shopping in their specific channels. It's where, you know, what's convenient to them at this specific time. And I think we've been able to figure out a model that works in all the different channels. And so I think what I'm finding now in like the wholesale business, for example, is I'm actually finding that there's, we're seeing some nice growth in that overall business, because I think there's a world of like, there's so many websites, there's so many different mono brand stores now, that I think it's been like so much of that I think customers are starting to come back to appreciating a place they can go and experience different brands and different products and different price points And that kind of, you know, what a wholesale, a great, you know, wholesale boutique or great department store can really do. So, and you're seeing that in some of the numbers. Nordstrom's numbers are, you know, Nordstrom's business has been really strong. So I think that's happening. So I think the wholesale business is not dying. You know, the models are slightly
evolving. Yes, I think we debunked that, right, years ago, and now everybody goes back to it. You need all of
them. The models are evolving, and I think new brands are coming, getting more comfortable with wholesale. So they're you know, the assortments in these stores are getting better and more relevant. So we love that business. I think especially as we go international wholesale is still a bigger business, especially in Europe, for example. And then when I think about online, obviously it's a way for us to touch the biggest amount of customers. And that's really where our brand campaigns can come to life and our marketing stories can really come to life. So that's one where when we think about the brand and what we're doing to echo, you know, to get people really into the brand from a, what's our storytelling, what's our new product, like that is really the great place that people can go. But at the same time, if it's more convenient for them to shop on Nordstrom.com because they love Nordstrom, like that's cool. But a lot of them are going to learn about the brand and what's coming from what we're putting out to the world. And so I really feel like the online business is becoming less transactional of like, it's so important to get that customer to buy right now on your site. Like now they can just go experience one of our stores where I think they can actually get even better service and they can try things on and they can experience all the fabric and the feeling and this kind of vibe that we want to create. So use the website as a way for them to really find what's new, what's coming, and then, you know, they can make that last purchase, their end purchase in the store, especially if we have stores around them. And then going back to the last thing on the stores is I think stores is just, it's where people love to shop the most. And I think it's where we can give the best brand experience. So we're going to continue to invest in stores, our store experience, our teams. And that to me is, I look at the, you know, you look at the luxury brands and you look at what they're able to do with stores. Like e-com for them is such a small business, like less than 10%. It's so much of it's in physical because people who want to experience beautiful product, they want to do it in person. They want to do it with a salesperson that they can really trust. And so as I think of our brand, it's like, we're not a luxury brand, but we do want to, you know, we do want to make beautiful clothes that we want people to experience. So for me, retail is our greatest place for customers to experience the brand. And so it's up to us to kind of become that for our customers.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely buy into that 100%. I think that's when you're having those like brand own moments. And your brand was in many ways, you know, the early inception days that you talked about at the beginning of this conversation was around a lifestyle. And I think the store, your brand stands for more than just product, and the store is a powerful manifestation of that. And as you look ahead and future chapters of the brand, you know, do you ever envision the brand evolving beyond apparel? Do you see it becoming more of a cultural and lifestyle platform?
I do see Faherty becoming, when I look 10 years from now, Faherty will look, there'll be version feel the same, but it will be, you know, many different new things that we will have tried and experienced. And that's everything from, we actually opened up a restaurant and a cafe in Spring Lake, New Jersey, which is my hometown. And
which I need to go to, obviously, because I'm in New Jersey. Yeah. So I need to add this to my to-do list.
Yeah, it's called Sun and Waves, which is an offshoot of our logo. And then we also did a year and a half ago a coffee shop in our Madison Avenue store. So I think that's interesting to me to think about how a customer can experience the ethos of the vibe of the brand, not outside of just shopping. So we'll see if we do any more of these Sun and Wave markets across the country or in any locations. But for now, we love the little one that we have here in Spring Lake. I think the other thing is, how can we continue to, like, our brand really resonates naturally. Some of this is what we create is around travel. So a majority of our locations are in what we would call like travel destinations, whether that's beach destinations or now we have mountain stores or, you know, Southern California towns. A hotel is something that we've been kicking around through a Faherty hotel experience. We'll see if that ever gets off the ground. One of the other things from a marketing perspective that we've done is we've done a catalog for about the last 9 years. And so and so we've been doing catalogs for 9 years, and now they're becoming more of magazines for us. So it's, we've now kind of rebranded it to the Faraday Chronicles, and it really is more of a magazine. It's a thicker bound, something you'd want to put on your table and kind of keep for a while. So I think that is also a way we love for consumers, you know, our customers to really understand what we're doing that season is through this magazine. So I think there's something there around content, magazine. You know, we've created a Faraday movie series that we've been doing the last couple of seasons. And so also, how do we show up to our customer where it's relevant content that they want to see and experience with the brand? You know, whether we're, you know, I would love to one day create this Faraday hotel with the restaurant, with the
cafe. This is what I'm going to ask. I'm not going to hold you.
With the clothing store, like you can have your whole little Faraday world that we've been talking about how that would be amazing to have one day.
So I won't hold you to it, but like close your eyes. Where would this hotel be? Like what's your dream destination for the first hotel?
Honestly, the one that keeps popping up just because it's such a great city is in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see where it lands on the map. I'm sure everybody will be ready to be booking their stays. But as you think about, you know, as you think about the planning for these things, you also have to think about the consumer, right? And their mindset is always shifting. And I think, you know, what you're talking about is current convergence of people, the experience economy and, you know, them wanting to have that kind of connection to a brand in a way that's much deeper than products. But as you look ahead in the next few years too, what are the biggest changes you anticipate and how people want to shop and engage, not just with your brands, but brands in general in the next, say, five years?
So I think one that's obviously talking about, but I think will continue to become a bigger thing, especially with the younger generations, is resale. So I think the power of how that is going to become a great place for brands to build a life cycle of customers without having to build big outlet businesses and, you know, off-price businesses, which was kind of the generation before us did. You know, it's just making a lot of new products. So I think how do you kind of keep the clothing in the ecosystem? So owning more of the resale channel, whether that's, you know, we have a resale site called Faraday Second Wave. I envision that turning into cool, interesting boutiques where you can buy Faraday vintage and resale. So I think that's one thing that, you know, I'm just seeing the way my nieces and nephews who are in their 20s shop, and it's a lot different than the way, you know, my generation shopped when they were in their 20s. So I think that's something that seems really interesting and relevant to me. I think the second thing is the when I think of retail specifically is, you know, kind of what I said earlier, which is customers are going to want more and more to make their final purchase in retail. I think given how much people are on their phones and how technology is kind of taken over, I think there's just renaissance to physical in-person experiences when it comes to making purchases. So I think that's going to be something in the next 5 to 10 years that we're going to continue to see is just more people being like, you know what, I've been shopping online for all these years. It's wasteful. You know, I'm returning a bunch of stuff. It's, you know, the logistics costs are, you know, like the energy costs and all of it is just a lot. Like, I'm just going to get in my car and drive to a store and find that product, and whether it's a department store. So I think we're going to maneuver back a little bit more from this e-commerce boom that we've seen post-COVID. I see those are two things that I see really shaping the business. And then for a brand like ours, it's really how do we position the brand to become global? And, you know, that's been, you know, always a tricky thing for brands is like, how do they take their brand and make it relevant globally? So I think for us, that's the big, our big 10-year goal is to do that. And so we're making some progress in some markets, and that's really like, how does the brand show up in each of these different markets? And but I think global brands needing to be global is going to become more and more relevant. I mean, it has been, but there's only a few that are able to do it. I want Faraday to be one of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much global connection already through social media, you know, as you mentioned. So I have two questions. One, from that global perspective, you know, your brand itself is rooted very much in an American heritage. And so as you grow internationally, how do you see that balance of staying true to your roots while also resonating with global consumers?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. I think it's American because we're American. But when, you know, I was just in Scandinavia and Copenhagen and Denmark and Sweden, and, you know, you might as well, the way people dress and the vibe of people, we're, I think, a lot more similar than we think in the way we dress and the way we think about lifestyle. And in Sweden, it's people wanting to be on boats versus going to the beach. But it's the same, like, I live in Stockholm, but I'm going to, you know, one of the archipelagos outside Stockholm. Like, Faraday is a brand that can resonate with them in the same way it resonates with people who live in LA and want to go to Montecito. And when they go to Montecito, they wear Faraday, or, you know, New York to the Hamptons. So I think we're a lot more similar than we think. And I think that same opportunity for the person who lives in a city who wants amazing casual clothing for their weekends, works for Faraday in, you know, France as it does in New York. So I think the brand can work everywhere. And now it's just learning how to do that and position it to the customers in that specific way.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure you'll find some strategic partners to help with that. So the other question was, you talked a little bit about, you know, the younger generation, Gen Z, and we didn't even touch on Alpha, which is going to continue to help reimagine so many things. But as you think about physical and people coming back to that and it being this hub of community and lifestyle, what do you see the role of technology being in that, in personalization and community activation? Like, how do you see that coexisting with experiences?
I think it's, you know, you're seeing this with the best brands. Marketing is becoming entertainment. So how do brands entertain their customers? Because, as I said, now we have a new generation that has no attention span.
Literally, yes. It's so disturbing, but yes.
no attention span. Like, you know, they're TikTok, then they're in Snap, then they're in not even Instagram anymore. Then they're in whatever the next new platform is going to be. So entertainment is how you're going to do it. And some of it's going back to the, you know, going back to the roots of, like, who do they like? Who influences them? So, you know, the influencer concept that's kind of obviously been big the last 5 years is not going anywhere, because people still look to other people to get influence. So that's going to continue to be a bigger and bigger thing. And I think for brands like ours, it's continuing to align ourselves with interesting people that align with what we're doing. And so, you know, we're doing something that I'm really excited about this spring, in a way that sort of brings some of the brand pillars to then, like, an entertainment piece. Is there's a very cool show on HBO called The 100-Foot Wave, which is a documentary show about Nicole and Garrett McNamara, who Garrett's one of the prominent big wave surfers of the world. And he found this wave in Portugal called Nazaré. And that show's won an Emmy. It's one of the most successful kind of documentary shows on HBO. So they've been long-term friends of ours and customers of ours. And so we're doing a big campaign with them in Portugal. And, you know, they have a huge audience, obviously, and they connect really well to the brand. So I think it's who are brands positioning themselves with, and whether it was On Running and their Zendaya campaign, which was, you know, which has been massive for them. But I still think that's been, since the beginning of time, people want to relate a brand to a person. So I think that'll continue to be big for all, for future generations. And how do you entertain them is, you know, it's going, these ideas of ads being direct clickbait is getting harder and harder because of sort of the attention span. So it's really like, and we got to create entertainment. We got to create videos. We got to create movies. We got to create spaces. We got to create things that stand out to the customer. And hotels, like, I'm even thinking, like, at our cafe in New Jersey, you know, the customer there that's finding the brand experience, the brand is coming because they like our special fall lattes, and they're, you know, coming with their friends after school and they're hanging out there and it's their place to hang out. And, like, that's a way that they're seeing Faraday. You know, they may not go to the clothing store ever, for the next 5 years or 10 years, but they're like, oh, I know Faraday because it's my favorite place to get a latte. Interesting to see how that evolves the customer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think all of those things are critical, having a 360 brand experience. And so I think you've shared so many things that our listeners can be inspired by. And really it's, you know, how you're staying true to the core and thinking holistically and your promise around sustainability and community and, all of us now waiting to see when that hotel gets announced. So appreciate everything that you've shared today. Before we go and wrap it up, though, I'm going to transition to a couple rapid fire questions. These might be a little more personal than brand oriented. Are you ready for that?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. First question. What is your favorite Faraday piece that you wear on repeat?
My favorite Faraday piece that I wear on repeat is our Slub Cotton hoodie, which is just like this really soft, lightweight hoodie t-shirt that I kind of throw on every day.
Love that. Okay. Dream destination. I already said this, but you're going to do it again. Dream destination where you'd love to open a Faraday store next. You said, Faraday store. We said hotel would be South Carolina. So where's your dream destination for a store?
Costa Rica.
Yes, I love that. Okay. And then what is your go-to beach essential besides sunscreen and that hoodie?
A great towel that's just the right thickness that you can lay on it. It can dry you. It's just the power of a towel.
It's true. It makes such a difference. It has to dry you just right, but not be too heavy. I love that. Well, Alex, thank you so much for spending time with us today. It was so great to dive in deeper around the origin of the brand, the future of the brand, and some of your favorite things. So really appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You're welcome. It was great.